Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here's Steve Scafidi. And in for Kristen Bry, here's Todd Albaugh.
Kristen's not here. She's on vacation. I was going to call him by his real name, Todd Albaugh, but somebody yesterday on the text line said Todd Albaugh is on the show. So I might just call you that, Todd Albaugh. Welcome to the show.
It's an honor, a pleasure to be here. I mean, it's great.
Isn't it fun to do radio?
Honestly, it was my first love. Somebody told me that when I got back into it a few years ago.
My first love was Cheryl Ladd from the, if you really want to be honest. I wonder how she's doing. She's got to be like 80 now.
Probably. Damn. They had a Charlie's Angels reunion not too long ago.
Did they?
Yeah, seriously.
Kate Jackson.
Yep.
Cheryl Ladd.
Farrah Fawcett, who's no longer with us.
That's the trifecta of greatness.
And then there was the one that replaced Farrah Fawcett that I can't remember.
Don't even know who that would be.
Yeah.
God, who? That's a good question. If you know on the text line, 855-616-1620, we're not going to talk about that.
Right.
But first of all, I'm glad that you're here. I have a lot of respect for what you do. You're a great radio guy and a great radio voice, and you're smart. Tell people your story real quick. I know you've done it before. Yeah. in like the 1 minute condensed version.
Well, first, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Usually I'm on when you're gone, and so I get to be on today.
I said
when
that's stupid.
My friend
Let's
Kristen
bring him
is
on.
Gone.
Let's yeah. bring you on.
So thanks for the opportunity. Born in Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, got involved in politics at a very young age, Republican politics, went on to volunteer work on a number of campaigns. Was former Richland County Republican Party chair, worked for State Senator Dale Schultz when he was majority leader, amongst other things, and during the whole Act 10 thing in his last term as well. Worked for former congressman from Madison, you would consider a moderate Republican by today's standards, or even a liberal, Scott Klug.
Yeah, I think that's a great assessment.
Back in the day. And then in 2011, during Dale's last term, was in a closed Senate Republican caucus where they were talking about so-called, quote-unquote, voter ID. In my opinion, it was voter suppression. And I sat there and said, I can't. This is not what I signed up for, is to help take rights, constitutional rights away from my fellow citizens. And so I said, peace out. Finished out Dale's term with him. And I don't call myself anything politically now. I'm an independent. I've voted Democratic probably since 2012. Not because I think they have all the answers, but because in my opinion, of the two major parties, I think there's one that continually stands up for small d democracy right now, and that's the Democratic Party.
All right. So, I mean, that's about as honest as she gets. And I know other people, the mayor of Waukesha, Sean Riley, sort of discarded his Republican label, even though it's a nonpartisan position. He was always on my side of the aisle. And I've said over and over again, I used to say conservative first for me. And small governments, stay out of our people's lives, freedom, like what's his face?
Mel Gibson. Part.
Yeah. And but I've seen things that I don't like, and I had a great conversation with Rick Esenberg yesterday, who is a conservative,
right,
is known for that brand, and he speaks from a place that here's the history, here's why we thought these things, here's how we think government should work and how we should approach our citizenry. And I just stepped away from it. So I just call myself a Republican because I'm still small government. I still like to balance budgets. I did it when we were in Oak Creek.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. State does a fairly good job with their budget. So anyway.
But you're not a Trumper.
I'm not a Trumper.
Right.
And I never have been. And I've been very vocal about that. I do draw the line at people who say some crazy. I talked about Todd Bankstead yesterday. I mean, come on. That's nuts. That's nuts stuff.
Yeah.
Let's not threaten lives. I know that the FBI or whoever's going to be looking, the Department of Justice is going to be looking into Mr. Bankstead. And I'm not going to spend any more oxygen on his name because everybody kind of knows that story. All right. So I talked to Joel Brennan yesterday on the show.
Heard it.
Yeah.
Listened.
Yep. Yeah, what'd you think?
Great interview, first of all. I know you have strong. I mean, you said on the air yesterday you think he's the most articulate. I don't have words in your mouth, but best well spoken,
best communicator.
I think that he's very, very good at it. I, you know, just like you on air said you were supporting Shulman back in the Republican, Josh Shulman, the Republican primary, I'm probably going to vote for, not probably, I'm going to vote for Kelva Royce because I got to know her. She used to come on our old show. I think she's really, she knows good government. So I'm probably going to vote for her in the Dem primary. So just to put that out there, be transparent about that. But I think she's a good communicator as well. But yeah, I think Joel Brennan is very, very good at communicating. Here's the interesting part. And we didn't talk about this because I want to do this on air. I want to get your thoughts. As I listened to him yesterday, totally agree with being a good communicator, but I found it fascinating that so many of his responses to your questions were, I did this, this is what I did, here's my, here's what, and I get it, he's trying to introduce himself, but if you look at somebody like Fran Hong or Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez or Kelva Royce, especially Fran Hong, it's, I did this, but I'm fighting for people that did that. I think nobody's asking me for my opinion, but a lot of these candidates, not just Brennan, I think they have to get away from giving everybody their resume and tell people why you want to be governor for them.
I would argue that the reason he's giving everybody his resume is because he's got a very impressive resume. So they can't know you unless they know where you've been. Now, on the Fran Hall thing, which is, we're going to take a break, we're going to tee that up. She is considered, sort of amazingly in my opinion, the front runner in this race. Marquette Law School poll last month, 14%. Mandela was in double digits. Everybody else was 3, including Joe Brennan. Mm-hmm. Is she the front runner? And is she running a campaign that can push her forward through that primary to be the next governor of Wisconsin? We're going to ask you that question. We're going to ask our audience that question as well. What's this Hong power? Is it enough to get through this thing? We'll get to that and more on Point Taken, a Kristenless Point Taken with Todd Elbow, not Elbow. All right, we'll do that after this on 620 WTMJ. Oh, we're just getting started. Todd's with me on this Thursday edition of Point Taken. Kristen will be back on Monday. She's geeked to get back. I know that. I just was texting with her this morning.
I talked to her on the way in today, and I can't wait for her to get back on this show next week and tell about this great forum. It was about some of these gubernatorial candidates, women.
Yeah.
And I think she's got some great insight, so she'll bring that next week.
Yeah, so some great reviews. Kristen said it went fantastic, and it was the four women candidates and Kristen in an audience, and she said it went fantastic. So we'll get all of that information next week. Lots of controversy about the Charlie's Angels stuff. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but apparently Cheryl Ladd came in as after Farrah Fawcett.
Here's why I love, because when I bring up some of these, I'm 56, and when I bring up some of these 70s and 80s TV shows, Kristen's like, I have no idea. Yeah, but yeah. It's nice to be, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Kristen told me a couple months ago, she's never seen The Godfather.
Really?
It's like, are you serious? That's like a top five film all time.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, what are you and Mike doing at home? Well, I can probably
they have a kid.
They have a kid. All right, I asked you the question. Hong power.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny she's run a very effective campaign. Mm-hmm. She's good at it. Social media, superstar. Everywhere. She's at all kinds of events, large and small. But I come down to this. I want your opinion. She's a socialist. She identifies as, she's in the socialist caucus.
I get that.
In the legislature. Are you telling me that a Wisconsin voters are going to pick a socialist to be the next governor of the state of Wisconsin?
Let me give a shout out very quickly to great journalists at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly Beck and Jesse O'Poyan had a great story in yesterday's edition on Fran Hong's campaign. I get it because you're a few years older than me, but we came up when communism and Russia was the evil empire, and it was, I think there's a difference in how current democratic social, I'm not here to defend them, by the way. I'm just answering your question about perception. I think today's democratic socialist, quote unquote, I don't think it's the same socialism that you and I grew up with, Red China.
What do you think the difference is?
I think it means more that there's an emphasis on policies that affect more people, a wider range of people, and less of, you know, the one percenters, those past policy is one percenters, and let's tax the one percenters more so that the 99% do better. And let me hasten to add this. I think you'll agree, maybe not. As somebody who grew up in a rural community, there's a lot of farmers in Wisconsin who are multimillionaires. I don't think we're talking about that. We're talking about the Ulines and the Diane Hendricksons and the John Menards, those people who are billionaires, of taxing those people more. So if you're going to be a candidate, if Fran Hong is the nominee, and I think personally, if the election were held today, A lot of time left, but if we're held today, I think Fran Hong wins the Democratic primary, and I don't think it'll be particularly close.
Today.
Do I think she can stay in it till the end? We'll find out. But I think today.
Why her and not Barnes? Ran before.
I've said this before. Bill McCosh will be on this show tomorrow. I think he agrees with me. I don't understand. I love Joseph Pecky. I think he should have been the Democratic chair of Wisconsin. I think they made a huge mistake putting Devin Remeker in there. I don't understand his infatuation with Barnes. I just don't get it. Because Bill McCosh is a smart dude. And I love about both Joe and Bill is they're honest that they'll go against their party and tell us what they really think. Bill agrees with me. Here's a quick anecdote. I was at an event, got a free ticket from a close friend, was at an event with Kamala Harris about a month ago at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Madison. You've seen this, Steve. Other people have. When there's a candidate, Tommy Thompson, Tammy Baldwin, when they walk into a room of people from their party, people gravitate to them. They want to shake their hand. They want to get a selfie. All this. Mandela Barnes was at this Kamala Harris event in the Orpheum in Madison. He was going around like, please talk to me.
That's why I don't see the magic there.
No, I don't think the Democrat, they know the guy, right? He ran at a statewide ticket at only 11% of vote. They know who he is. They don't like him.
You mentioned the Journal Sentinel did some reporting this week on Tom Tiffany and what they say is a leaked email and the headline, "We need to take Francesca Hong seriously." Is that real or is this the candidate they actually want to go up against?
That's my question, right? I mean, you know, I've been around long enough. I think there may be, so I have no proof to it. But I think there may have been a little bit of cooking it on their end, meaning not like today's kids say you're cooked, you're done, but cook the numbers and then quote unquote leak this. Because I think there's the Tom Tiffany, the Republicans want Fran Hong as the opponent. They think they can beat her, but they released this quote unquote internal memo and basically saying Fran Hong could win this. I actually think some of the stuff in the memo is true because the policies she's talking about are working class politics. It's about putting food on the table, gas prices, which I think we're going to get to in a little bit. Those are real issues that she's speaking direct, and she comes from the service industry. She's one of them. That's very different than a Tom Tiffany who's been an elected official for God knows how long.
He was also a business owner.
Okay, but yeah. A while back.
Yeah. I will say this, and maybe this is controversial, I don't know. You put up Hong and or Barnes, Tiffany wins. My opinion.
On this show, you said a few months ago that Barnes was the only one that Tiffany would lose to. Am I right about that?
Am I right on that? Did I change on that? I don't think so.
I think you did. Ask Kristen.
I'm saying it now. Well, things change in politics.
True. Yeah. True. I think that I don't think Barnes is going to win the primary. I think a Hong-Tiffany race will be very, very close. In my personal opinion, I think that the strongest Democrat to go against Tiffany is probably either Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez or State Senator Kelda Royce because they're seen as more centrist and they're women.
You're right. I did say that. So my position's evolved, clearly. Yeah. And that's a good catch on your side. These other candidates, I had Joel Brennan on, yeah. Kelda Royce, Missy Hughes. Who am I missing? Sarah Rodriguez.
Yeah.
What's the magic for these candidates? Is there magic?
Well, you tell me. I said this when you were gone with Kristen. I mean, we're sitting now. The 1st of May is tomorrow, folks. Having run a few races in Wisconsin, never statewide, but congressional races, you have about a month and a half left until people check out in terms of going on vacation. Kids are out of school. I don't understand why. I mean, other than Hong and Royce and Rodriguez, I don't see a true statewide campaign from these other people. You got to connect and you got to do it quick. And I don't know Democratic politics as well as some people. Here's my quick take. I do listen to a lot of people. I listen to people who are much more left than me. I think that the Democratic base is angry. I think they're fed up that young people are saying we're sick and tired of waiting our turn, and they want somebody who's going to reflect that. And you know better than anybody else, Steve, in a Democratic primary, you win Milwaukee County and Dane County, that's it.
Yeah.
It's over. And so a candidate like Hong, who has this – people underestimate her. This is how she won her assembly race in Madison, is that she has this network of service industry workers that she connects with.
She's a fighter. I'm never going to vote for Fran Hong, but I've met her. I like her. She's a fighter, but Okay, I can't get
if it's
past
Fran
the
Hong
label.
Versus Tom Tiffany, who voted to undercut elections,
you'd vote
for an election denier like Tiffany?
Look, no candidate is perfect. I hate the fact I hate the fact that he did that. But if you give me a socialist versus Tom Tiffany, I'm taking Tiffany.
That surprises me.
Well, I'm being honest.
I appreciate that.
Oh, we're late for break. We got to get to it. 620 WTMJ, point taken. Real quick, before we get to the bottom of the hour news here, which for you kids is 10:30.
I do that too.
Yeah. It's like, nobody looks at a real clock anymore. Like, if you look at my watch, I'm showing Todd.
Very nice watch.
Yeah, it's a real right. clock. And I mean, do you have digital? Do you have a watch?
I just use my phone. I have an analog watch.
Oh, okay.
That my grandparents gave me.
Is it a Timex?
No. I forget what they gave me. It was a high school graduation gift. I still have it.
That's a popular
years.
Gift for graduation. Yeah. Or what did I get? I got my class ring from my parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which I have no idea where that is anymore.
Do they do that anymore? Class rings?
Letter jackets they still do, but I don't think they have the rings anymore. Anyway, real quick. Salute to Service. We are in the nomination period. You know this. This is a great thing. Thanks to Waterstone Bank. Every year we pick the first, the amazing list of first responders, doctors, nurses, police, fire, EMTs, dispatchers. Every year it's different. Nurses. It is just a fun way to honor people who step up every day. And the list is long of the nominations and they keep coming in, but I need your help. Text salute to 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Text the word salute, S-A-L-U-T-E. Tell me who they are, how they changed your life, how they impacted your life, where they work. Give me a contact. I'll take it from there. Jazz and I work on these pieces. And in Heroes Week coming up in a few weeks in May, 3 weeks in May, we're going to tell those stories on the air live at 11:30 each day. Thanks to Waterstone Bank, all our great partners. It is the most enjoyable part of the year I have is in May when we do this.
I love it, the fact that you do it. Congratulations. Thank you for doing this. I have family members who are EMTs, firefighters, those sort of things. They go unheralded, so thank you.
Yeah, and it's just a joy to do. And we're actually up for a WBA award this Friday.
How about that?
Well, actually, two of them out for our work last year on Salute to Service. So get those noms in. If you don't want to text, you can go to WTMG.com and there's a banner. Just click on the banner. It takes you to the nomination page. Oh, you know, it's a good show, Todd Alba, when the text line is spinning. Everything from you're a commie to I'm a election denier, which I'm not. Anybody listen to the show?
I'm not a commie, but...
Again, on the Tom Tiffany thing, we all have choices. There are people who didn't... They held their nose when they voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know? But they voted for Donald Trump. And you get choices. They didn't want President Harris. None of this stuff is easy. No candidate is perfect. There are things about Tom Tiffany I do not like. But I'm not hung up on the socialist label. I just have a hard time. Now, Texans are arguing with me about this, that Milwaukee specifically has a long history of that. We had mayors who were socialist.
100%.
So maybe in Milwaukee that will play. And maybe that's where Fran Hong's, you said Milwaukee Madison, maybe that's where that strength comes from. I'm not saying she can't win the primary. I don't know.
I think it helps her in the primary. I think if she gets to the general, she has to be willing to adjust. Her campaign has to be willing to adjust and explain, lean less on the label and more about her policies, which I do think connect with voters all across the state of Wisconsin.
If you know, what's one example of something that would register with people on policy side of Fran Hong? I know it's off the top of your head.
Child care. She's been talking about state-funded child care across the board. There's a huge issue for people across the state.
All right, so you know where I come from on this. Yes, we should do something. Child care, tax credit, whatever it is. But when you start talking about paying for stuff, we're already, not in the state of Wisconsin, but federally, in a massive debt situation. So if you're talking about federal action, where's that money coming from?
I don't think I haven't read all of her policies specifically. I think she's saying, what can we do in the state of Wisconsin? You know, we're sitting on
four. I mean, it's almost four.
$4 billion.
Yeah. No question.
So you make choices. And also I'm not here as an advocate for her campaign necessarily. I'm just answering your question. I know she has talked about, much like Bernie Sanders and others, are we taxing the wealthiest? We're talking about the billionaires in the state of Wisconsin enough to pay for some of these things.
You know, that argument, even among Republicans, is starting to hold water. People are saying, okay, the dude's worth like $200 billion. He's paying no... I mean, come on.
Right.
Something's not right here. That has to change.
Didn't Tom Tiffany came out here last week before? Tom Tiffany went a number of years without paying taxes?
Yes. That was a story a few days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, people, you know, and he wants to be governor. I think that's a problem.
All right. Let's talk about my side of the aisle.
All right.
I want you to explain to me, because I don't really have an idea why this is happening. I sort of have a feeling about it. Republicans are just, they're deciding not to run in the state. The latest, yeah. Andre Jacques.
Andre Jacques, state senator from the Door County area.
Beautiful part of the state.
It really is. The first Senate district announced today, been here on 620 WTMJ, he's not going to seek re-election. I think there's a couple of factors. A, that fairer maps make it more difficult because both on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, have not had to worry about general. It's about being primaried. And so that's made them more either right or left, depending upon their party. So now there's a fairer map. Jacques has not been what I would call a centrist state senator or candidate, leaned into Trump and Trumpism very proudly. So might be looking at the political reality, going to be tough. And also, the guy here last week before that announced he was going to run, former Brown County, Brown is where Green Bay is, Brown County Republican Party chairman, former Mark Becker, announced that he's going to run as an independent.
Yes.
Now.
Fascinating.
He had already announced he's going to run as independent. Now, there's rumors on the street that the Democratic Party, with a wink and a nod, said that if Becker got in as an independent, they would not field a credible Democrat. And now you've got the incumbent Republican saying he's not going to run. I think Becker, he worked for my old network, good guy. He's legit friends with guys like Adam Kinzinger and former state senator Rob Coles from that area as well, who my understanding is they're all going to endorse him as an independent. If things fall a certain way this fall, Mark Becker could be the deciding vote as an independent in the state Senate.
Here's my thought. If you're afraid of the challenge, what the hell are you doing in office in the first place? So whatever the lines are in your district, step up. If you're a person who likes public service, and these people have been in office for a while, who likes to play the game of politics, Trump or whatever, where are you going? That seems to me a suggestion that we think we're going to lose badly. We're just getting the hell out.
Yeah.
I don't like that sort of mindset.
But we've seen this for 15, going on 20 years. That these folks in the legislature, they're less concerned about having legit town halls. I come from an era, you remember this, when you're elected official and a mayor.
Yeah.
When you would have a town hall and it was truly open.
Meet the mayors.
Right.
Once a month, every month. Come on in, let's talk.
Right. And now they have, quote unquote, town halls where it's invited guests.
Or tele-town halls.
Yeah. That's horse crap.
I'm so afraid to go out in public, I can't even meet you face to face.
Yeah. I'm sick of that. And I think that, my former party, your current party, the Republican side, is more afraid of that than the Democratic side. And I think that you're seeing this now that, we actually have to face real voters. Ooh, that's too tough.
It seems like an abdication of public service. Like, you're afraid of the challenge, so you're just getting the hell out. I don't understand this mindset. And if these guys are all getting out, and it's primarily guys, if there's.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, one woman. What are we doing here? So. You're just saying, we're going to hand it over to the other side. Now, I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but there's a lot of suggestions that it's going to be a rough November for Republicans.
Well, I mean, Bill McCosker, this show a couple weeks ago, said, I applaud him for this, was honest, and said, what, correct me if I'm wrong, that if gas wasn't under $3 a gallon and if Trump wasn't out of the war by Memorial Day, it was going to be a tough road to hoe for Republicans this fall. Gas is at $4.26 last night when I filled up.
Yeah. Bill McCosker's worried, you should worry.
Right?
If you're a Republican.
If you're a Republican.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Bill, understand. Bill's been around. You know this. He's been around forever.
I respect nobody on the Republican side of the aisle as a conservative in their political opinion more than Bill McCosker in Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the resume. Yeah. Although you said it's not the resume. It's what you do next. All right.
Nicely done, Scafidi.
Todd is here. We're having fun on a Thursday. Kristen is off. She'll be back on Monday. All right. Do you want Donald Trump's picture, image, likeness on your passport? I had a two-word answer for this yesterday on Twitter. I don't think I did it on Facebook. One of the words was no. The other one was a curse word I can't say on the radio. That's my answer. I'm curious. Yay or nay? 855-616-1620. Do you want Donald Trump's picture on your passport? Mm-mm. From me. We'll see what Todd has to say after this. All around the world. Todd Allbaugh joining me on the show today. Not Todd Allbaugh. Thanks for listening for that.
Great music, by the way.
Jazz doing it on the music side.
Thanks, Jazz.
Jazz isn't just a hard worker. He just does the work and grinds on the music. And I offer suggestions. Some of them never get to the air. Musical suggestions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's good.
Jazz
I don't know.
She's a sharp critic.
She is, but that's, you need that sometimes around you, right?
The fun is when the producer pushes back, really, because the antagonism. We were doing that a little bit. You saw some of that this morning.
The sausage of a point taken.
Yeah, it gets a little messy.
Right?
A little anger.
But you get a better product.
I think so. I think the show's been rocking today. And thanks for all the... The text line is spinning, which is always an indication people are engaged. So I love that. Thanks for doing that. All right. So we teed it up before the break. Now, this isn't everywhere. It's not here. It's in the Washington passport area, that D.C. area. It's a limited edition passport with the president, Donald J. Trump's, image on it. I asked a question, would you want that? Now, it's a small sample size. Basically, they're saying what I said, F no.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want his picture on your passport?
No. I'll leave out the adjective on it. No, I don't want it on there. And honestly, Steve, we've never had any president, to my knowledge, who has done this kind of stuff. He's put his image on the – well, I heard that it's the secretaries of the different agencies trying to get into his good graces. So Pam Bondi put up his photo or the big banner on the Department of Justice. You've seen stuff at the Pentagon. You've got National Park Service put it on the annual passes for the National Park Service.
See, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. That happened last year.
Texas said they wouldn't get the pass because his face was on it.
Right. Well, I mean, but no, the short answer is I don't want any president's picture on. I want an eagle. I want the seal of the United States because I'm an American citizen. And we are I don't want to go too far down this road, but having King Charles here this week, the irony of hearing the monarch of the UK come to the United States in the well of the house and in the White House sounding more, in my opinion, like an American president and more pro-democracy supporting NATO and the Ukraine than our current U.S. president. Why would you want this guy on a passport?
Well, if this, and we've got probably more than 50 texts, I don't have one yes. That's pretty remarkable considering our audience, which is 50-50 generally. This president does things that I cannot stand, and I've talked about many of them. But one of the sort of this homage to himself, whether it's the statue they put up at a golf tournament that's for this weekend,
a gold statue,
yeah, of himself.
Talk about the gold calves and the Bible stuff,
yeah, for all those right? faith-based people.
Yeah.
What's that about? I think he violates several of the commandments in his lifestyle.
Several.
So the way he's done this is my opinion. I'm curious what you think. He's sort of trying to establish his legacy through things and like creations. So the arch that he wants to build, or the ballroom, which we were going to talk a little bit about. This stuff is maddening to me because I always say this to my Republican conservative friends. If the other side was doing this, you would blister them. You would never stop talking about it. The talkers, the squawkers would never let this go. Yeah. But for this guy, your guy, oh, no problem. Doesn't bother me.
A fan, a listener, a texter called in a little while ago, reminded us that today is the date of the end of the Vietnam War,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let me answer it this way. I never served. I never put on a uniform. I had a grandparent that did, grandfather. I one of the things I did at Congressman Scott Klug's office was handle Veterans Affairs, one of the great honors of my life. Agree or disagree, Steve, and texters, listeners out there. Most of the time, people who served in the United States military, who saw the worst action, who did the most, talk about it the least.
Right.
And the people who brag are usually the ones who didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. And I would say it's the same way with this guy in the White House right now. He has to create these things and images to make himself feel better instead of actually doing the work and getting stuff done.
Some people say to me, he's doing this because of the abuse he's taken from his critics over the last 12 years.
He's got thin skin.
No question.
I mean, the guy can't take a joke. It's all about him. He gets mad. He cuts off press when they ask tough questions. We mean, George W. Bush has been on Instagram recently talking about praising the press, saying we need them. It doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democratic. Presidents, by and large, even LBJ, we get Mad Nixon behind closed at the Smothers Brothers. There's an old reference for you, but would say, but would never abridge their First Amendment rights.
Well, again, anecdotal, small sample size, although it's not that small anymore. There's not one yes.
Well, and you mentioned this off the air over the break as a guy who travels more than me. When you travel internationally, especially like you do, your passport becomes special.
It's your identity.
Yeah.
You don't go anywhere. You can't leave anywhere without that passport. It's something I hold dear to my heart. One, I'm representing my country when I go places. I try to do it responsibly. And I don't like the idea of sort of to stamp everything with this image that's not the country. It's an individual. That bothers me as an American. All right, we'll wrap the 10 o'clock hour. Don't forget, Jeremy Janine joins us. We'll have a trio of commentary coming up after the top of the hour news for you youngsters. Again, that's 11 o'clock. All right, quick break, 620 WTMJ. Todd and Steve in the 11 o'clock hour coming up along with Jeremy Janine. All right, gas prices. What do you make of this? This is gas and groceries was a Republican talking point. Yes. Gas and groceries. We're going to take care of you. I could play clips of the president saying we're going to get those prices down.
Tom Tiffany in northern Wisconsin pointing to a gas sign that was two something saying, oh, this is what we're running on.
You know, the new one is they have the new price in the same picture.
Yeah.
And that's you can't escape that one. Even Bill McCosh, as you said, admits that.
I filled up in Madison, my quick trip on University Avenue, usually the cheapest one in Madison because it's kind of centralized. I paid $4.26 for E88 last night. And so it's a great story in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday. I believe this is going to increase. I've maintained that you can't necessarily blame a president for rising gas prices or food prices, except when they start a war that even his military advisor said was a bad idea, except when you have food prices rising because of you had Jerome Powell yesterday admit this on in front of a mic. That it's due to tariff, the Trump tariff specifically. We didn't get to the fact there's a new reporting now. 46% farm bankruptcies in the state of Wisconsin, up 46% year over year, largely due to tariffs. The same thing with gas prices. You can blame Trump for this because of his boneheaded, unforced errors.
We're going to actually have Brian Reisinger on the show in a couple of weeks, who's written brilliantly about the challenges for Wisconsin farmers, which are real and significant. And I feel that pain because, man, those folks are doing heavy lifting every day in the state of Wisconsin. All right, Jeremy Janine after the break for news, which is next.
11 o'clock on a Thursday means it's time for a full hour of City Stories with Urban Milwaukee President Jeremy Janine on Point Taken.
You don't even mention who the hosts are. No Todd Albaugh, no Steve Scavino, just Jeremy Janine. It's all about you, apparently.
Here we go. I'm in control for the next hour.
All right. So we were teasing Jeremy before, because whenever you start with a leave story, that's right in my wheelhouse.
Oh, and we're going to talk leaves. Here we go. 7 minutes of nonstop leave action. It's been very obvious, especially if you're a listener to this program, because Steve has been without power for more than a day.
Yeah.
I've got a tree on my roof. There's been problems.
I didn't know the
weather.
Tree on the roof thing.
Yeah, it's there. You come see it. And if you bring a chainsaw, please, it'll save me some money getting it off.
Did it puncture a hole in the roof?
Amazingly, no.
You're lucky.
Yes, I had two trees on my roof a while ago, and then a We Energy's crew cut one of them off, and it's been a process.
Yeah.
So the city of Milwaukee is, I mean, not just Steve and I are having these problems in Oak Creek and Milwaukee, but these problems are occurring hundreds of times across the entire city. Heavy rains are causing all kinds of issues. The sewer system is getting overwhelmed. But then there's this thing about leaves that has caused an issue in the fall, and it's repeated again in the spring because they can't get the leaves picked up in the fall because they fall off the trees later. Then snow falls on top of them. Then they're buried for months, and people are parking on top of them.
But the news is there's going to be some changes.
Two big changes coming now. So climate change is forcing change at the Department of Public Works.
Oh, you're careful with that climate change thing. The text line will heat up.
We'll debate that in the next segment. The two big changes are, one, and this is the one Steve's going to be most interested in, currently in the city of Milwaukee, you and some of the suburbs are different, you rake your leaves into the street if you want to get rid of them off your property, and they come, they being the Department of Public Works, come and scoop them up eventually.
The big suck machine, as I call it.
It's actually a push machine.
Oh, is it? I've seen the suck machines do this some places.
I'm guessing we might have too many leaves in some of these streets, so... So that theoretically is how it worked. And they would start October 1st. Well, what happened this year and has been building for several years is it stays warmer longer, leaves stay on the tree longer, so they all fall off around Thanksgiving. And then this year we had snow on Black Friday. They didn't get picked up. The change this year will be DPW will pick up your leaves, but they want to see them in bags on the curb instead of piled up on the street. The change there is you're not going to be parking on top of them. If it does snow, the bag's still going to be visible, theoretically, and it's just going to be easier to know where they are to pick them up.
Let's go around the room. You're the guest today, so you're the guy that's not usually here. Your thoughts on people just pushing their leaves into the streets?
I'm a Libra, so I can see both sides of it. Somebody who was on a much smaller city council in either Milwaukee or Oak Creek and Richland Center, a town of 5,000 people, I think that taxpayers pay their taxes for certain services. I think it's streets, and I think it's basic things like leaf and brush pickup. I'm in favor of using tax dollars for that. I get the problems and can appreciate it here in Milwaukee. Other municipalities have those. Some municipalities, you have to put it on the edge of your grass and not in the gutter. But to say it, now you got to think about people, elderly people on a fixed income. Now they got to buy bags. How much is that going to cost? They got to have somebody put it in the bags. I understand the problem and the solution, but at a time when gas is $4.25 and rising, more costs on taxpayers for services they already pay for.
Okay, but we know that those things aren't, that's not static. Services and what you deliver to your citizens changes over time, right? Plowing has changed. All of you, now we
sure.
Why don't we brine the streets? Things change. It's not static. You're wrong on this. Completely yes. Wrong.
I've been attacked by graffiti. Badge of honor.
I looked it up this morning. You can find a mulching. Everyone who has a yard basically has a lawnmower. I mean, not everybody, but let's say 95%, maybe higher.
Some people hire it done, but sure.
Okay. It's $250 for a lawnmower that's going to last you 10 years.
For a mulcher.
Mulcher. Mulch your damn leaves. I don't care how many you have.
What about folks that are disabled or elderly people that can't do it by themselves?
They could get some special attention, and if you have a neighbor like that, what the hell's stopping you from helping them out? That's what my first thing.
Wouldn't we like to go back to the 1950s and June Cleaver?
I would, actually. That, for June, yes, I would make that leap. All right, what do you think? You're a resident.
I am a resident. I have a huge maple tree in my backyard.
Oh, I heard this. Huge maple. It's a tree. It drops its leaves. Mulch the damn thing.
So I do a hybrid approach. First, I mulch, and then later in the season, I'm pushing the last batch out into the street. Now I guess I'm going to be bagging the last batch.
Do you think this is a movement in the direction of we're not going to do this at some point?
No, they don't have a choice. They need to do this. Otherwise, the leaves are going to end up in the sewer, and that's going to cause water quality problems.
I don't like that. I don't like what you're saying. I do not like what you're saying.
And why?
We don't pick up leaves in Oak Creek. We have 37,000 people.
What do you do with them?
You rake, you mulch them, or bag them and take them to the recycling yard.
The citizens have to do that?
Yes.
I completely disagree with that.
No.
So one of the challenges why this won't go away in Milwaukee, and this was addressed yesterday, the street trees that are essentially on the terrace between the sidewalk and the actual street, those are going to dump leaves on the street still. And that's going to have to be cleaned up.
I'll give you a horror story. I have a locust tree. You know what a locust tree looks like when it drops its... Yeah. It has these long pods. Up until recently, I had a pickup truck. I filled that bed twice with those pods hauled into the recycling center. Did I want to do it? No, but I didn't push them into the street and make someone else do it or make the other taxpayers pay for it. I stepped up on my own.
You're a better citizen, Steve Scafidi, than most people are.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. All right, anything left to say on this story?
There is, because there's a huge other change coming that'll affect 30.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back to that. This is a very hot topic.
I want to know the bags. They have to be plastic or
you can buy them. It's like $2 or something.
We'll talk about it when we come back.
He's got all the he's Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com. He's got all the details.
And he's got a tchotchke shop.
He does. We'll get to that, too, after the break. I will say this. Nobody covers the leaves story like we do on Point Take.
Nobody.
Nobody. Todd Alba.
Especially from the mulch angle.
We're heavy on the mulching. I feel like I'm helping the environment when I mulch. And I actually had landscape.
You are.
I am a landscape expert.
No, you're helping the environment when you mulch.
So when I did my old show a couple of iterations ago, long time ago, I had landscape experts come on the show and tell me, yeah, mulch them. It's great for your lawn. So why would you kick it to the curb, folks, not want to help your lawn and help the environment?
That's a fair question. In my case, I can't mulch. I get the density of the leaves is all of a sudden what's on my yard. So I reach a breaking point.
I'm going to read this text, not because it casts me in a great light, because it just shows you how the
basic. That's what he says.
Photoshop Scafidi onto a riding lawnmower wearing a Nazi uniform.
What?
Now, whoa. That's a harsh reaction.
That
to
took
what
a
I
twist.
That's harsh. That's a dark turn.
Yeah.
But because I read the critical ones, I wanted to just get that out. So thanks for the 414 for nothing. But go ahead, Jeremy. Update us.
So we, we got to get the calling into that image and maybe we'll drop some of the military.
That's insignia. A whole, you know, that conversation?
No.
Oh, well, we'll save it for another day.
the other major change that was announced yesterday will apply to about 30% of the city, the highest density parts of the city, generally speaking. And that is anywhere you're able to park overnight on both sides of the street. So by default, most Milwaukee is every other night, park on the odd side on the odd night, that type of thing. There's a lot of exception areas. Those areas, the belief of some council members, is that that's where the leaf problem is the greatest because street sweeping is the least effective.
Right.
The city now, for that area, again, about 30% of the city, Concordia, near south side, near the east side, near north side, is going to roll out new street signs. Pay close attention to the street signs as you're parking now and just outside of downtown, because they will say on Wednesday, the third Wednesday of the month, it is street sweeping month. Don't park here, because the con of this change, the positive is you're probably going to get much better street sweeping. The con is, and this is Department of Public Works admitting it, we're going to tow lots of vehicles because people aren't going to pay attention to this change. So big change coming there, and it's going to take 3 years to roll out.
I don't want to go too far down this, but do you follow meteorologist Sam Cuffell on Twitter on X?
Absolutely.
She's been going. She's been having a conflict with the city of Milwaukee on overnight parking, saying that there's no actual alternate side of the street parking, and she and her neighbors are getting tickets every night on this. And she's been going at it with her followers on Twitter. So I mean, I think there is something to be said if they can put signs up in Milwaukee now on leaves. It better be clear.
Will certainly be an issue. I don't know about Sam's parking escapades.
But I've been following it.
She is a must follow right now for anything weather related.
Sam's the best. I was irritated when she was removed from her job. Anyway, if you go by the text line, I'm winning the argument, which is all I really care about right now.
Of course you do.
Yes.
What is the opposite side of the argument again?
I want to push my leaves into the street.
Okay. I would like
sewers be damned.
I would like to cross tab the positive text Steve's getting with his former donor list to the mayor.
I read the Nazi one. How am I not being fair?
So on the bags in the city of Milwaukee, yeah, again, this is a policy that's copying, I believe, what's happening in Wauwatosa and many other cities across the state and Midwest. It is a paper bag that is biodegradable because the leaves get ground up and mulched at a centralized site. They cost about $2 each is the estimate. And Alderman Peter Bergelis and Russell Stamper are already working on a giveaway of bags. So there will be opportunities for those that don't want to pay $8 for a couple bags or one bag. There's going to be giveaways.
Elderly or physically challenged people aside, it's good exercise to rake your leaves and put them in a bag. I mean, come on. Get outside. Breathe some fresh air. Get off the Housewives stupid shows on Bravo. Stop watching that crap and get outside.
Although he admitted to me before the show, he did used to watch The Apprentice years ago.
Yeah, the first year.
So he doesn't entirely hate, folks, reality TV.
No, I do hate reality TV.
Well, The Apprentice was that anyway.
That's why.
How do you know something if you don't at least invest some time to discovering it?
All right, back to Milwaukee.
Research. All right.
Potholes.
Anyone with eyes or that can feel anything when they're rolling on their wheels knows there's a lot of potholes right now. The Department of Public Works is well aware. I'll read a quote from Mayor Cavalier Johnson. We heard those concerns loud and clear. We hear them and we want to address them because potholes affect life. And he was very clear that the city is doing all it can. And the data actually suggests that Milwaukee is, at this point, compared to prior years, has filled 600 more potholes than it normally has.
Wow.
This time last
year.
That's impressive. So 4,200 versus about 3,600. Now, here's the twist. There is already, one, I gave you that 4,200 number. There's more than 11,000 potholes reported right now, which means there is 5,000 plus known potholes that aren't filled. That is more than the entire year for 2025, entire year for 2024. And it's very likely this will break an all-time record by the end of the year.
And what's the why here?
So that rain that we've been talking about is doing really weird things to the roadway. Most roads have a concrete base, and then there's asphalt sitting on top.
Yeah.
The ground, and for the watchers online, you can see my hands right now. The ground underneath the concrete is getting saturated, the same reason it's causing flooding everywhere. That appears to be catching water between the concrete and the asphalt. That's causing all kinds of weird perforations, basically, with the asphalt breaking up.
Keep me honest, Jeremy, but I can't find it right now. I thought I saw a story this week, I think the Journal Sentinel, where the Milwaukee Brewers are helping to fill potholes and like spray painting their logo on some of this.
Yeah.
So that's
great marketing.
So what the Brewers did, the city has done a couple innovating things on potholes in terms of they're getting new equipment that only requires one person to operate the machine instead of the whole crew. One of the things the Brewers did is they came to the city and said, we have $27,000 for you on street maintenance. The city thought about what it could do and went and bought a $50,000 hot patch machine, which is essentially an asphalt plant on wheels. And it's got Brewers branding on it now. The city debuted it earlier this week. Neil Doyle was there, the excellent Neil Doyle from
America's News, favorite newsman.
And what that does is it improves the quality of the pothole patching. So the hot asphalt is much better than cold. It's going to last much longer. But it also gives the city more flexibility. Right now, the city is doing 4 hours of voluntary overtime every weekday. It's running 8-hour shifts on Saturday. But because it doesn't own its own asphalt plant, it can't fill potholes on Sunday because it doesn't have asphalt to do it. It's all a private company.
It's a day of rest. 6 days a week pothole filling is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
I'm anti-pothole.
I think everyone is.
So. Think of the branding opportunities that people would donate
point
to your...
Point taken.
Point taken. People could pay, donate to your service cause, have Steve Scafidi come out and fill your pothole.
Put my face on the pothole.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people would sign up for that.
I think they would.
So in exchange for the donation, the Brewers get 75 stencils.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, nice. All right. And it's a kind of a cool thing the Brewers are doing. All right. Lots of texts. Thanks for all the texts today. We got lots more to get to. I would describe the next one as like people issues, board issues.
Yeah. Crowley for governor in trouble.
Oh, that's a good tease. Yeah. See, Jeremy's done it so well. He knows how to tease. All right. That's next. That music means Jeremy Janine. I got to get a couple, at least one quick one in here before the bottom of the hour news, Jeremy.
First, I got to turn on my microphone, but I teased Crowley for governor not going well, and that's because Crowley as county executive seems like things are rocky at the moment.
Okay.
There is the resignation of the HR director. We talked about this, I think it was last week. There was the whole fracas over the lapse of the contract. And so Graham Kilmer, our county government reporter, did the logical thing, and I know other reporters did this as well. They requested her resignation letter, and they received a response back that we can't release the record to you, which this is normally just public record, because it's part of an investigation. Well, that, of course, creates a story on its own because, well, what is the investigation? And what we have from the county executive's office is Director Franklin's resignation was not a direct result of the concerns being investigated. She made a personal decision to resign and that they cannot speak to the subject of the investigation. So that just creates bad optics because you're now left to wonder.
Yeah, even but it's if, personnel questions. That's often treated that way.
Yes, but I think if you're thinking about your image and running for governor, you might try to manage these
also
issues
true.
Better.
Yeah. Also true. The words you say and the things you do matter in your inner race for governor. Yeah, I would argue that if I asked David Crowley right now, he'd say things are just fine.
So, and we don't know why she resigned because we can't get the letter, but we do know she was part of this bigger issue. We also know Mike Lappin resigned as he was within the behavioral health and human services area, dealing with lots of tough health issues for people. And he was asked to resign, according to Mike. And now the Crowley administration is openly telling the mental health board that, hey, you need to get in line with us and do what we say, or you need to get off the board. And the board's like, well, this has never happened before. And that's now becoming a story on its own.
Challenges in Milwaukee County. Not all seashells and balloons, Todd.
No, I don't follow this, obviously, not living in Milwaukee as close as you guys do. I think that County Executive Crowley's biggest concern, which I like him as an executive, is the fact that the rumors out there, the loud rumors that the Evers Chief of Staff and Communication Director are running his campaign.
That's a little nugget to drop on us. One of the things everybody wants to know about, where is this tchotchke shop that Todd Albo referenced earlier in connection with UrbanMilwaukee.com?
Urban Milwaukee, the store, urbanmilwaukeethestore.com, is on the corner of Milwaukee and Mason, 755 North Milwaukee Street, right by the Pfister Hotel and Hotel Metro.
Before I've asked you what's the most like best-selling, what's the most odd thing you have?
The most, well, I mean, it's also in the best-selling category because I'd still stick with, I think, for odd, the shot glass that is udders on the
odd.
Bottom.
People collect shot glass. Have you been there yet?
No.
Can't admit that on air.
I mean, I didn't know how we could walk to this.
It's
absolutely after the show. Steve and I could walk there.
I've driven.
We could do video content and make Kristen jealous because we could do Todd and Steve's video at the Chucky Show.
I'm glad you just said that because I think Kristen, if she listens back to the show, she probably won't. Will be jealous of what we've done today.
I'm just saying that.
The sad thing is, I've driven by the store with the intent of stopping, and for some reason, I just deviate to do something like, oh, I'm gonna go do that instead. Twice I've been on my way there.
That's not a statement about how exciting the store is, by the way, listeners.
What are the hours?
We're open 10 to 6 weekdays, 10 to 4 on weekends.
I'm walking down there after the show.
It's from all accounts, it's a great store.
I'll let you know.
I hope to give testimony on that.
Because you won't go with me. You're interviewing like the Ukrainian ambassador or something.
No, journalist. Sorry. Yeah, right after the show. I mean, I'm all business.
Nobody harder working in radio than
I'm
Steve
glad
Scafidi.
You said it because I say it all the time and no one believes me.
It's true.
Let's get to your stuff.
Let's shift from hard working to partying. The city of Milwaukee yesterday took the first step towards possibly fencing off the Water Street Bar District and the MLK Drive Old World Third Bar District.
For folks who are saying, what's the why of that story?
What's the why? There has been, since 2021, a problem with violence, but this is a very important thing if you're like, am I unsafe going into bars? All evidence suggests no. The problem consistently is this new trend in people that go and hang out outside of bars, never go in the door. These bar districts seem to attract this. A lot of the people that end up getting arrested in these, again, very late nights, often end up under the age of 21, which is just a sign that they're not going into the bars. So the city is looking at ways to deter this. One of the things they did 2 weeks ago is they banned food trucks after 10 p.m. from the area. That's now caused a fair amount of controversy, and there's some discussion of rolling that back with some council members. Alderman Bauman, who's the area alderman and lead sponsor, says no, he doesn't see that happening. That was an immediate step they could do. 10 p.m., clear the food trucks out with the hope of deterring loitering. The other thing that now the request is, let's study this, come up with a plan. What would it cost? What would it look like? Is fencing off the area so you could still get in, but you'd go through.
How wide of an area are we talking?
That's one of the things that's going to be evaluated, is maybe it's just a couple blocks. Maybe it's, you know, much of downtown. And obviously it can't really be much of downtown because the cost would be insane. What do fences look like? Are there metal detectors? Is it pat downs? How are you screening for weapons? Is there an age restriction? Beale Street, the premier bar district in Memphis, does this. A couple other bar districts kind of do this on an ad hoc basis, it seems, but really Beale Street is the one that does it consistently.
It just upsets me because I love Milwaukee. I come down here and eat. We go to bars, hang out, and I've never felt any of this, but I'm not in these specific places at these specific times. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. Living in Milwaukee or the suburbs thereof, just had Mifflin Street Block Party in downtown Madison. Over 20,000 people there. Law enforcement, which is a former chair of the Public Service Committee on the City Council, I'm a big believer and supporter of local law enforcement. They got overwhelmed because there's so many people coming from outside of Madison into this. Is this area that you're talking about, Jeremy? Do you see this where people just come in to basically be troublemakers? And if that's the case, at what point you got to do something, in my opinion, to protect local law enforcement who could be overwhelmed? And as a former small business guy, people are paying taxes. They don't want their windows broken out.
It's all of the above. So this is a very, Water Street in particular, and Old World Third Bar District, very popular district for tourists and especially young locals alike. And then it's become this popular place for teenagers to hang out.
I see. Bingo.
And that becomes a problem. I don't know where they're, I mean, obviously most of them are from Milwaukee. I'm assuming there's probably some kids from the suburbs that have discovered this is a fun place. I can hang out and never go into the bar. Yes. The scofflaws from Oak Creek after they're done raking out their leaves. Are coming down.
Leave that alone. So a timeline to get to a solution.
There is a request in the file, and the Common Council has to pass it in 2 weeks, and they certainly will. 60 days they want a report on what are our options. Not that we're going to do this, but again, what are the options?
Ready for summer.
At 60 days? It's going to be summer, so we'll see what happens.
It's almost May.
Time is flying.
When's May? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
May Day.
Where did this year go? Well, I know, I was traveling. All right, Todd, Steve, Jeremy, I would say development stuff in the next segment.
Absolutely, yep.
UrbanMilwaukee.com is where you can find their great work. It is a great read. Some of the best local journalism that we have in the state. Jeremy G, UrbanMilwaukee.com, Todd Albaugh with Steve Scafidi on the Point Taken Show. All right, where are we going? Development issue.
We're
going
to talk real estate all over the city of Milwaukee. Real quick, I'm going to dump four stories. I'll let you two pick what you want to talk about the most. One, heading down into Bayview, there's an interesting thing happening with Unity Lutheran Church. They're looking to possibly demolish their church. The congregation is very healthy. They just want to look at ways to expand their impact, which could be adding housing to the mix and make them financially sustainable. They also serve as a warming shelter in the winter already with their education wing, so they would get a better home for that. Mm-hmm. That's moving forward. Walmart in the Midtown Center on the north side of Milwaukee closed in 2016. There was a plan to put self-storage in it. The city said, no, we want more than that, paraphrasing what happened. There's now a proposal for the parking lot to be redeveloped into two affordable apartment buildings, and then allow future redevelopment. And we'll have a scoop on that, I think, next week on what's going into the former Walmart itself. That's moving forward. Amazon is building a distribution facility in the city of Milwaukee. It's not nearly as big as you think it might be. It's going to be about 11,000 square feet compared to 2 million square feet.
Oak Creek. Wait, 11,000?
The Amazon is getting to not just two-hour delivery anymore or two-day delivery, but half-hour delivery. They need a facility just outside of downtown Milwaukee to accommodate that. That's coming to the Menominee Valley.
I love the fact that I can... This has happened twice in the last 6 months. I can order something. It's at my house that same afternoon.
Well, nuts. Now, in a couple months, you'll be able to order something. It'll be in the studio before the end of the show.
Isn't that nuts?
It is.
Which one did you pick of those three stores? We
got one more quick. There is a site on Water Street just outside of the Third Ward. That 11-story building was proposed there. It's been dormant for several years. For various reasons, the proposal can't move forward. A Minnesota developer who just built a building in the Third Ward is now coming back and wants to do something on that site. Details of that have not been revealed, but it's certainly going to be apartments.
Todd, you pick.
I'm going to clump them kind of together a little bit, and the issue of housing. And this is an issue that cuts across the entire state, across all political spectrums. And I am so happy in an era where we see, particularly in my former party, Steve's current party, trying to meld religion and faith with politics. Here's a Lutheran church who's putting their faith, their money where their faith is, I guess you'd say, and say, you know what, we don't need a big fancy church just to come and do what we're actually going to follow Christ's teachings and provide for the less fortunate and include affordable housing on our lot. I think that's doing something without boasting about it. Just be quiet and do it.
Is that your read on that story?
I think that's where that's heading. I think that's a fair read of exactly why they're doing it.
Sign me up. That is noble leadership.
Yeah.
From a faith organization.
Just do something. Don't go out and beat people over the head with your book of faith. Actually do what you say you believe in. I like that.
All right. What else you got in this segment?
The Amazon thing I think is interesting because I think we're going to see those facilities to get that half-hour delivery time pop up in more than just one
sort
spot.
Sort of like mini sites.
Yeah, so I assume they're going to figure out it's going to rain on Wednesday, so we'll start trucking in umbrellas, and then we'll deliver them in that half-hour window.
Are you just saying that, or that?
I know what they do logistically on a broad level.
Robotic?
At 11,000 square feet, no. It looks like it's a bunch of just shelves that people are quick picking and loading trucks.
Are they delivered by drone?
No, look,
not yet.
That's coming.
Yeah.
That's being demoed at a transportation conference right now. Yeah.
That sounds great. Well, to some people, until it drops on some kid's head.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're all going to be up in arms doing talk radio shows about it.
You might appreciate this. Do we really need stuff that quick?
Yes, I do. I want it right away.
That surprises me.
Although, my teammate,
I thought, like me, you're more of an analog guy.
No. I try to be modern. But my pal, Eric Bilstead, always reminds me of this. You know, you can just go drive to a store and buy it right away and walk out the door with it. Probably don't have to do anything other than just go to the store. So, I mean, that availability is there.
You can't buy a tchotchke on Amazon. You got to go to the
You guys Urban do Milwaukee all. You, oh, somebody asked me, do you do online or no?
UrbanMilwaukeeTheStore.com, yes, lots of online business. Nothing you can buy on Amazon.
Oh. You can go to the website. Order that way.
Yeah, you buy it directly from us. The stuff in our store you will not find on Amazon.
Unique stuff.
Yes.
That's interesting. I'm going to take an early break here because there's a lot of stuff we can get to. There's a bus tour that intrigued Todd. You said that before.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah. And it's for good reasons. We'll get to that. Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com. This show went so fast. That means it was good. Kristen, I hope you're listening.
She's going to give me so much grief for that.
No. Good radio should be appreciated by everyone, even a co-host who's not here, doing a very important on-assignment work. Quick break. We are in the city of Milwaukee on Wisconsin Avenue downtown, right in the avenue, right next to 3rd Street Market Hall, which if you've ever checked it out, check it out. The food's amazing and the vibe is cool. Todd Albo has been sitting in for the entire show, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much, and thanks for Kristen and you.
And it's been a blast. Everybody. We've had a great show, and Jeremy Janine, he's here every Thursday. Let's wrap it up. What do you got for us?
So Todd was very interested in this, and I think it's a great event that showcases all the hard work people are really putting in to try and tackle housing at kind of the lowest level of home ownership, the lowest income level of home ownership. The Community Development Alliance, this is now the third year that they've done bus tours of all the different projects they're involved in. It's stuff we talk about from time to time, but their goal long term over several decades is to tackle the racial home ownership gap in Milwaukee. That results in a big, scary number and they need to create 32,000 new black and brown homeowners. That would close the gap in Milwaukee. that obviously, again, can't solve that overnight. But every year they're trying to build about 100 new homes and get homeowners in them. And it results in lots of different strategies to get there. They have an all-of-the-above approach. Last Friday, they showcased their early childhood educator homes, which was going back to 2021. They got a federal grant allocated by the state through the American Rescue Plan Act, $5 million in seed funding. LISC Milwaukee, as a partner, went out and raised a bunch of private capital from groups like Northwestern Mutual and other Zilber Family Foundation. And then they've built now 50 homes, 42 of which are reserved exclusively for early childhood educators, which is a high turnover field. And it's, if you pay people more, all of a sudden the cost of childcare explodes. So the idea from the state was, hey, let's seed this, try and get people to stay long term. We went and saw a number of those homes. Some were built in partnership with Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, but many were emerging developers who are building not their first homes, but their first homes at this scale. We met with a number of different homeowners, heard their stories about where they worked. One works down in Cudahy, but really wanted to live in Milwaukee. And it was also an opportunity for bankers, funders, a number of state legislators, and community organizers to get an up-close look at these projects, meet people. What was really interesting to me was the number of people, I'm deep in the weeds on these, covering the financing sources, the number of state legislators and bankers that didn't know all the different sources and kind of what levers of power they control were really getting to pitched on, hey, here's the one thing you can do to improve this.
I love this story. You did too.
I did too. I think that people like Steve and Kristen and I, who have the opportunity to have a microphone, sometimes fall into the trap, you could disagree, Steve, of witching and griping about things that are going wrong. Here's a story and a community bringing people together. Things are doing right. I love every part of it. Housing, as I said earlier, is an issue that cuts across the state. I love this. I think it's things actually getting done.
Yeah, the home ownership thing is key, especially I've talked about this before, these sort of these block by block ideas where you sort of transform a sort of dilapidated area and messy and dirty and transform it and give people ownership and the partners, the names you were dropping. That's a big reason why this could be successful. It's a great start. Got to keep it going.
Yes, it needs to be sustained year over year. We talked just a couple weeks about Northwestern Mutual seeding $3 million in funding for kind of the next iteration of these programs.
All right, got about 30 seconds. What anything on your radar this week?
I just coming here from Meta House. They built a new facility. They deal with women primarily struggling with addiction. They have a residential inpatient service, and then they transition you to outpatient. They're near 39th in Michigan, about ready to open a new facility. It will increase the state's, not just their capacity, but the entire state of Wisconsin's capacity to treat this population by 20%. They see a big backlog of things like opioid abuse where they can't get to the people to give them treatment. They'll now be able to really address that backlog.
UrbanMilwaukee.com, Jeremy Janine, thanks as always. Todd, been a pleasure. Lots
pleasure
of fun.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you.
We'll see you down the road. The news is next on 620 WTMJ.